Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. It's the Mean Green Nation podcast. And you know what? Even though it was an ugly win, it was a win. And that makes this morning just a little bit sweeter. So, a word of, programming note. Aldo is not going to be on the show today. But I did talk to him this morning. Actually, we went and hung out. We had breakfast because he was down traveling about in this world. But he's not in podcast mode. He's in family mode. So it's just me. Just me this morning. And I think we're all just going to have to get used to that. I suppose you could say it's a bit of a letdown, right? You know, all you Aldo fans out there. It's like, oh, geez, just Adam this morning. That's terrible. And maybe, you know, you're following that up. This is following up, last night's game. A win, which is a win, but the kind of win that dropped us down in S&P Plus, if you care a lot about that, it dropped us down in everybody's, opinion. But you know what? We're not at that level yet where we care so much about that kind of thing. If we win the rest of the way, it doesn't matter because we put ourselves in a position to be Conference USA West Division champions because we got some help last night. The Alabama-Birmingham Blazers went out to Ruston, Louisiana, and beat up on the Bulldogs 28-7. And we're not going to talk too much about that game, although it was of interest to us. But it's a little bit concerning because the Blazers are good, and North Texas have the Blazers on the schedule, actually in 2 weeks. This week's game against Southern Miss is a big one. The Golden Eagles of Hattiesburg there are really good. They got a quarterback that completes passes. And if you remember last year, that was an area of concern. Quadra Griggs and Keon Howard in the last 2 years were the starting quarterbacks against North Texas. And they turned the ball over a ton, and they didn't complete passes. And that's how North Texas was able to win, among other reasons, including Jalen Guyton going out and getting 200-plus receiving yards. This season, their offense is a little bit more limited. They don't have Ito Smith out there, and they're still trying to figure out their run game. But they have enough to go out and score points. And again, they have a quarterback that can complete passes. That is a change. It's probably the best or best quarterback since that we've seen since, maybe Ben Hicks or maybe Buckshot Calvert. Maybe the most complete passing offense since those two teams. I think, you know, we're getting to this UTEP game here. The North Texas defense, the secondary especially, is not as ferocious as it was in the first four games of the season. Definitely not as dominating as it was against SMU. And that's going to be a concern in this one, right? If we can stop the pass game here, then we're in good shape. Although the pass game for UTEP was having a lot of success, and that was concerning. Well, let's get into it. Let's talk about this UTEP game. I wrote up a post last night. You can read that if you don't want to hear me talk about it. But I'm going to add some new things here, a couple of new thoughts after sleeping it over. North Texas was always going to have an off game, right? Defensively, offensively, kind of both. And last week, amazing catches by Rashid Bonnet and others aside, the defense played well. I mean, they held Louisiana Tech to only 3 points in the second half, right? That was a big point of emphasis. Everybody felt good about that. And so, you know, we figured that the defense was going to allow something, right? I mean, all that, you know, just kind of human nature from slipping a little bit or maybe not getting as lucky every time. Aside, there is the fact that North Texas has put 5 games on film, right? It's 5 games, 5 opportunities for coaches to break down the current strategy and pick out something that they like. Also, 5 games for other teams to get better, right? It could be argued that the initial struggles by SMU and even Liberty and what have you were caused by, you know, just early season jitters. Right? It's always kind of tough to get the reps you need. I know North Texas' run game benefited from some reps there where they were able to kind of figure out exactly what kind of blocks that they're going to do and just get the feel for the zone blocking scheme they needed. So we knew somebody's going to pick out something. And, you know, law of averages, sometimes North Texas was going to get unlucky on some of these plays. And we saw some of that, right? Cam Johnson slips, falls down, guy's wide open, 67-yard touchdown. That happens, right? He slips. You know, I'm sure every time he does it in practice, he's not slipping. I'm sure every time he plays, he doesn't plan to slip there. That when they draw up the play, when Mike Canales is out there in El Paso drawing up plays, he's not thinking, okay, we're going to run to the left side of the field, cornerback's going to slip, we're going to get a touchdown, right? So, unlucky. That's one score. So, you can take away 7 points off of there and say, all right, they're probably not going to score that. Elsewhere, Ryan Metz rolling out, completing rollout passes along the sideline. That's just good, right? Reddix is playing well. He broke a couple of Nate Brooks' tackles, but Nate Brooks won a couple of those battles. Nate Brooks got an interception. For the most part, I liked it. What we didn't like was a couple of those play-action plays where they found guys down the middle, that Kansas State playbook that has the quarterback fake like he's going to do a power or a little QB ISO, stops, and then hits a jump pass to the fullback or to the H-back. That was something that's been available to teams. And you remember when I was saying, hey, some of this is on film? Liberty, if you recall, I wrote a post kind of talking about that game in, the Louisiana Tech preview. I wrote about how North Texas kind of gave up some of those kinds of things. They were available to other teams, and we had to look out for that. That was a version of that same kind of play. North Texas does a lot of selling out. When they see something, they play downhill. You've heard a lot of coaches talk about that when they mention the North Texas defense. And one way you take advantage of a team that plays downhill and is aggressive is using that aggression against them, right? That's play actions. That's plays that involve a lot of moving parts to get them flowing one way and going the other way, right? You either use their aggression against them, and so you just take advantage of the hole they leave behind them, or you get them hesitant after you hit them for one, and now they're not playing so aggressive. In this case, North Texas kept up the aggression, although they sat back in a couple of zones later and then got taken advantage of by the legs of Ryan Metz, which I don't think was in the game plan. He can scramble. He's a senior quarterback, and for the most part, he did well for UTEP. I think if you're one of them UTEP fans, one of the 10, I guess, you feel good about that situation. Kai Loxley is good, and I mentioned some of the good things I saw in his game against UTSA. They do a lot of power running. He's fast. He's big and strong, and he can win a lot of one-on-one battles. I mean, he won a couple one-on-one battles with UTSA's Josiah Tua Effa, their star middle linebacker there. He was going to give North Texas a challenge no matter what, but one of his weaknesses is that he can't really throw the ball that well. He's really not at that level just yet. And Ryan Metz is at that level, right? He was a former starting quarterback. In fact, he started the last game that UTEP won against North Texas. I think there's something about El Paso. It's either the elevation or the distance, right? I think they're flying out there, but I've driven through El Paso once going from Phoenix to San Antonio. And, man, it's just a Roadrunner cartoon. It's a lot of the same stuff, just over and over. And it's awful, that trip. El Paso is the westernmost outpost of the conference by some margin. Right, it's a distance, and I got to think a lot of that played a factor. And I know we pay Seth Luttrell a lot of money to overcome those kinds of things, to coach him out of those natural reactions. And it reminds me of the Nick Saban quote. I think he writes in his playbook where he says, "Hey, look, playing football is unnatural. Right? It's hard. Nobody wants to do hard things, and that's what makes all of the winning an accomplishment." Is because you're overcoming what most people would not do. Most people don't want to hit another human being as hard as you can. Most people don't want to, do the tough and difficult things that it requires and to be disciplined and eat right and study hard and know the plays. Nobody wants to do that. And that's why most people don't. And the people that can, there's a lot of people that don't want to. So it's difficult, right? It's real easy to say, I'm real sad because Louisiana Tech beat us. You know, this is UTEP. I won't play that hard. And I can't tell you whether or not they were actually doing that, because I was not on the team. I was not in the locker room. I wasn't in the classroom. I wasn't in the dorm rooms with all these guys. I don't know. But I do know that Seth Rochelle said that they got a well, this might be apocryphal, but I saw somebody say that he said that we got to get they got to get their heads out of their ass. And it seemed like that was the case. I don't know if they're trying too hard. I don't know if that they're overthinking things. I don't know if it's just simply a matter of calling run plays when there's no run game to be had. I don't know. Personally, I'm not the biggest fan of forcing the run game when it's not there. I think that helps North Texas get behind the chains. And, I mean, but I will say this. I haven't led any offenses to anything, right? So we're talking about a couple guys that have experience coordinating offenses that have set records, right? Both of these guys, Seth Luttrell, Graham Harrell, right? So I'm going to defer to them a little bit. I think they know what they're doing, but I also don't like forcing the run game when it's not there. That is getting North Texas behind the chains. That's making it difficult, and North Texas is having a tough time executing the points of the game. All that said, hey, 427 yards, I think it was, 6.2 yards per play, which is better than the season average of 6.0 yards per play. I think that's right on pace for North Texas' 2017 season, in which they set program records all across the board, right? Scoring, yards per play, yards, total yards, pass yards, rushing yards, et cetera, right? The offense wasn't bad. It scored 27 points. You can win with 27 points, right? They nearly won last week with 27 points. And this is a bad team, right? The problem is that we expected to score much more because UTEP is not that good. I also mentioned in the preview that UTEP's defense was an unknown. They played a lot of teams that are either terrible, like UTSA, and so they looked a little better, and their offense put them in tough positions. I think they threw an interception last week early, and that allowed UTSA to get a short field touchdown. They've been put in some bad positions, and they look like they have talent. They have talent along the defensive line that maybe not as good as they once were, meaning last year. When they had like Aaron Jones, was it Alvin Jones, right? The linebacker. They're good ish, right? And they can give you trouble, as we saw. But they have exploitable parts to them. And North Texas did a good job exploiting those. And they did a bad job always exploiting those, right? Drop passes. Hey, Rico Bussey leaving unable to find the ball in the air when it's going over his shoulder. We've seen him have that same issue for, three seasons now. I don't think he's going to get that much better. That's just a thing for him, and it's fine. But I will say that, is it Travis Fulgham from Old Dominion catch that pass earlier in the day? And, I mean, that stood out to me. That's a difficult catch. And, I mean, it's just one that he's not that great on. Jalen Guyton is a little bit off. Something's up with him still. He still has the dropsies. He's still not dominating games the way he was last season. Teams are taking him away. But Rico Bussey is having a season. I think he has 8 touchdowns on the year after that little touch pass, jet pass that he had to follow up on the ones that he had last week against Louisiana Tech. That puts him, I think it's 7th all-time in North Texas history of catching touchdown passes here. Because he had one in 2015 or 2016, right, in the bowl game. Then he had 7 last season and then 8 this season. Jalen Guyton led the team last year with 9. All-time record is 13 by Ron Shanklin. Also the all-time career record, 31, Ron Shanklin. Ron Shanklin was good. So Rico Bussey is good, but he doesn't have the help that he had last year with Jalen Guyton or even Turner Smiley, who was taking the top off defense deep. Largely, another number one, right? Jalen Darden has taken over that role, and he's been good. He was, I don't say he's a no-show, but he wasn't really there against Louisiana Tech. They did a good job taking him away from Mason Fine as an option last week. And some of that was just kind of formations. I think North Texas wanted a heavier look, and they like Mike Lawrence in the slot when that happens. But Darden was good. He caught a couple, I think he caught 5 passes for 80-something yards. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But notably the touchdown, right? We caught it, made a move, danced along the sideline, scored. And then another one when he caught it short, danced, cut it upfield, and, you know, got big yards. He's going to be the key. And I think UTEP said that they were somebody that they were focusing on because of his ability to break tackles and get deep. I highlighted some of that in the Arkansas, was it the review? He's good, and he has to become more of a factor. And by more, I mean, like, he has to get, like, 5 or 6 targets a game. And I guess, can I say it? Mike Lawrence got to step up. He's been dropping some passes. They were showing some of the bench reaction in the Louisiana Tech Beyond the Green, that episode 5, I think it was. And, you know, they're like, hey, I told you he was coming. He's been kind of schemed out of things, and he's also been dropping passes. And we know he's better than that because he was better than that last season when he was catching nearly everything. Some of it is the teams are focusing on him a little bit more, and some of it is just, I don't know, concentration or something like that, or maybe the passes that are coming to him are not that great, or they're just a little bit more infrequent than they were last year. I don't know. The situation is that Mike Lawrence hasn't been as big of a factor, but the offense is still producing things. He's still good. He's still talented. He can still, you know, find the spaces in a defense, right? We saw him last week get open, score a touchdown, right? He's still good. I think the issue is that North Texas has to get ahead of the chains a little bit quicker. And, you know, maybe that means not lining up with Connor Mackey out there. Maybe that means not lining up with Kelvin Smith in the game and it's going 4 wides to start with and spreading them out and getting the ball to playmakers' hands earlier or maybe more spread. And this is the thing that North Texas has done before, right? Against, if you remember, against Army in the bowl game in the 26th season, they came out in more 4 wide sets to try to spread the ball out for Jeff Wilson to get him the ball running. It is a thing. And, you know, I think even Kelvin Smith, who's normally sure-handed, dropped an open pass. It was like on 4th down. Just little things are getting to him, right? And if those little things start clicking, then this offense looks even more amazing. I think it's like 500-600 yards instead of the 427. As it is, this offense is good enough. Mason Fine is good enough to have a bad day, right? Because I think everybody felt like that was a bad day. And still get almost 300 yards. He had like 294, 2 touchdowns, like 60-something percent passing. It was a good game, and that's what we want. If you recall, like DeMarcus Smith's bad days were like under 100 yards and, you know, under 30% passing. Same thing with the quarterbacks that we had before that. Those are bad passing games, right? I can live all day with a bad game being 230 yards passing, right? Or 300 yards passing effectively. I think the run game has to improve, especially against a team like Southern Miss that can score. They can move the ball. They're not as good as they were last year, but they still have talent and they're still good, right? Southern Miss is one of those teams that always gets a little bit of talent. They always find somebody. And ever since that season where they just were terrible and they went over, they've turned it around under the series of head coaches they've had. And, you know, they've been good. They've been good. Jack Abraham's good. They got a receiver, Quez Watkins. He's good. I think he won Special Teams Player of the Year, of the week earlier this season, I believe. But he's their number one guy. They have, I think is a Treverius. Treverius something is a running back, and he's pretty good. He's going to be a guy to look out for. He's going to be a dude that can find the little spaces in between North Texas and who knows what. I think North Texas has enough to beat Southern Miss, especially at home. I think everybody's going to feel a little bit better. And, you know, they got 2 weeks to get a little bit better, 2 weeks to kind of figure things out. I think there was still a hangover happening in this UTEP game. I'm disappointed, though. I mean, I expected a blowout win. I expected, like, a cathartic win to kind of take out that frustration that they had last week. But, I mean, this kind of thing happens, right? It's college football. Just one or two things go wrong, and all of a sudden, hey, now this team looks bad, right? Let's give some credit to UTEP. They came out, and they're improving every week. I mentioned this in the preview. They're improving every week. They also had a nice little surprise with Ryan Metz starting. Nobody had seen him on film in this offense. You know, nobody had seen the plays that they were going to run with him executing those things. He's a better thrower than Locksley. And he completed some throws, right? He was out there completing some passes. You could see his limitations. You can see why Locksley was the number one guy. Two interceptions. Two of them were bad. North Texas took advantage of those. But, you know, he was slinging it, and then he showed some ability running the ball. There was a couple of times, and this is a mistake. Brandon Garner and I think EJ Ajia took bad angles. They rushed him as if he were Stephen Calvert, who doesn't have the same kind of mobility. But this time they take, you know, an angle through the A gap, and then he runs through the B gap, and then he's gone, right? And, you know, he scrambled twice, I think, for first downs on 3rd and 14, 3rd and 12 or something like that, kept the drives alive. Those are the mistakes that they're going to try to clean up, the defense. I think we can forgive them, considering that they've been so good and the best unit that the offense you know, could carry a game in this one. And I don't even know if you could say they carried a game. But 24 points is not bad in modern college football. Yes, it's bad against UTEP, but I think we're going to see a little bit more from UTEP. I know, having watched their UTSA game and then having watched this game, I see some good things on the horizon. I don't know if they play like a Rice, right? UTEP playing a Rice, if that they can, they're going to make the same kind of mistakes. And again, I think if you replay that UTSA game in El Paso, I think maybe things happen differently. All that said, it was a good win because it was a win. And North Texas doesn't quite fully control their destiny going forward, but they control most of it, right? You beat UAB. There's a three-way tie, and there's a bunch of division tiebreakers. I think it goes your record against, you know, the division. Then it goes head-to-head, and then it goes the common opponents in the division, and then cross-division opponents, and et cetera, et cetera. We're not going to break all that down right now because there's so much to play. So much can happen. UAB looks really good, right? That game in Birmingham is going to be tough. North Texas has to be at its best to win that one. That defensive line got to Jamar Smith five times. You remember North Texas struggled to get to Jamar Smith. EJ Ajio was saying, yeah, we let him you know, have too much time back there, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Well, UAB didn't give him any time. And if you were concerned about UTEP's defensive line getting to North Texas, or maybe even La Tech's defensive line, right, with Jalen Ferguson getting to North Texas, wait till you see UAB. Again, sacked them five times. They've gotten a lot of sacks this season, and they don't give up a lot of sacks on early. Their weaknesses are in the pass game, UAB, I mean. And, you know, they overcame that by just over-rushing 229 yards against Tech. Again, I don't want to get too far ahead and look at UAB, even though I'm already looking at UAB because they're good. The road, you know, to the Conference USA West Division crown goes through Birmingham right now. It went through Ruston, but you know, UAB took care of that. UAB controls their destiny. If they win against North Texas, then, you know, they basically have this thing sewn up. They'll have the head-to-head against Tech, and you know, it's all over and done with basically after that. Right now, North Texas needs to beat Southern Miss, and then they can worry about UAB. One game at a time, right? Hey, how about UTSA 2-0? They look – I think what's going to be funny is, like, I'm very low on UTSA. I don't think that they're very good at all. Their offense is terrible. They beat Rice with something like 178 yards of offense. But they're 2-0 because they beat UTEP and they beat Rice, the two worst teams in the division. And, you know – They beat UTEP by more points than we beat UTEP by. So we can't talk too much mess right about now, although we've played one of the best teams in the division. And then, you know, an improving UTEP on the road, right? If we don't look out, UTSA might win this thing, right? They just need a couple more fluky wins, and that kind of thing can happen in Conference USA. I mean, look at Middle Tennessee, which, you know, I had questions about. They jump up and beat FAU last week, and they beat Marshall, right? Marshall team that always had questions at quarterback, had an injury at quarterback. They get a backup in, right? Instead of doing a Ryan Metz and showing out, he doesn't do well at all and, you know, helps Middle win. Comps, you say it's crazy. My point in mentioning all these things is to say that you don't know what's going to happen. You got to take it week by week. Right now, USM is 1-0 in the conference, right? And North Texas needs to take them seriously. It's at Apogee, though. I don't know, because I don't know that there's like an event like the Mean Joe statue unveiling. But this is another chance to pack Apogee, right, to fill it up. I don't know that it's going to be another 30,000 people, but I know that I think I saw somewhere that they said that the tickets were a little bit more sold out than they were against Tech. I don't know. We'll see. I think everybody had fun in that Louisiana Tech game, and I think that will get people to come back. There's a good football team despite what happened against UTEP. Maybe it's good it was on BN Sport, right? Because then nobody could actually see it, or fewer people could see the boring game. I don't know. What else do we have? What else happened? Mason Fine looked okay. I think he was a little shaky. They're talking about his mobility. He looked better. We were concerned about him. Keemon Hall didn't play, and obviously Lauren Easley is out for the season. That run game, man, we got to figure out what's going to happen there. Again, I think they're going to do a running back by committee with DeAndre Torrey and Nick Smith. I would maybe prefer them spreading it out a little bit more and giving them a little bit more room to run. Maybe go four wide receivers and see what happens. Maybe split Kelvin Smith out wide and like a little stick him in the slot, right? But go three wide receivers, but have the tight end in the slot. Give him more space. Give him more room to get out there and run. Right now, having Kelvin Smith as an H-back, I think, brings too many people in there, and it's a little hard to run if we're not getting all those blocks all the time. Again, what do I know? But something has to happen. I like Torrey in space. He's real good in space. We saw Nick Smith last week get in space. I don't know. It's really just kind of hit or miss, right? It's like no yard gain, negative yard gain. Hey, 15, 20-yard gain. And that's good overall for your offensive averages, but it's less good for your third and you're getting your first down conversions, you know? And, I mean, Charles talked about this, talking about getting that first down and seeing what's going on after that. We'll figure it out, right? Because they're paying these guys a hefty sum to figure that out. And I believe in the coaching staff. I think they do a good job and they'll figure something out. They do really like to try to run game though. Whatever. So we're just gonna have to stick with that frustration for the rest of the time, I guess. How about Cujo Young? He stepped in there and got a nice grab. I saw Quentin Jackson out there. I think he had a drop pass or something like that, and I didn't really see him the rest of the way. I think Greg White had an appearance, and I want to say I don't recall exactly what happened, but it was not good. I think it was almost an interception. You see some of the other guys kind of stepping in there. I wonder – I mean, Jalen Guyton still does good things, but I think his place is challengeable at this point. He's still producing, but it's not at the level that we've seen from him before. So we might see somebody else kind of step in there. They at least have an opportunity. So if somebody wanted that, they could. Again, Darden has been balling at that slot, and Rico Bussey has been amazing. A lot of good stuff there. We just need everybody to catch the ball every time. And maybe that means Mason Fine puts it on him a little bit easier, maybe a little bit more accurately. He's been good, but he's been slipping just a little bit. He hasn't been helped out, but some of these passes are just a little bit off. Beyond that, hey, offense is good. Mason Fine's completing like 65% of his passes right now. Jack Abraham is completing like 70. Some of that are dinks and dunks, but sometimes it's all you need are dinks and dunks, right? It's going to be a big game. Every time. I think North Texas won twice in a row against USM. It seems like every time they play this team, something big and important happens. Last time it was in Denton, Nate Brooks got a big interception to seal the game. That was a game that I think Keon Howard started because Nick Mullins was injured. Keon Howard started and turned the ball over three or four times, and North Texas upset Southern Miss in a game that North Texas really wasn't expected to win at all. And then last year, obviously, North Texas went down early. It was like 21-10 or something like that. 17-3. I forget what the actual score was. But they came storming back basically on the strength of throwing it to Jalen Guyton and daring some of their guys, even some NFL guys, to beat them, to stop them, and they couldn't. Southern Miss struggled to complete passes, and, you know, so North Texas, you know, won going away, and it was incredible. Kind of started the whole the realization that this offense is really good and really dangerous and really explosive. It might be fun to just kind of do that again, have a breakout party, because they really haven't. Like, the offense has had good games so far this season, but there's nothing where you're just like, wow, this team cannot be stopped. It hasn't quite been there yet, and maybe this is the one, right? Southern Miss had to replace a lot of their secondary, and I mean, they were good, but they beat Rice last week, or the last time they played. They gave Auburn a decent enough game, but Auburn is not that good. There's some question marks about Auburn. They're talented, but they didn't really have their stuff together, so I don't know how much we can look at them and say, yes, this is a good measuring stick for Southern Miss. Because, you know, Southern Miss didn't even win that game, right? They just gave them a close game. All that said, again, I don't think that Southern Miss has played an offense as good as North Texas. But I don't think North Texas has played an offense as efficient as Southern Miss quite yet. Even though maybe they got a little bit of taste of that with a surprising UTEP and a quarterback can complete some passes. Again, North Texas is going to try that in-your-face kind of deal. Stick everybody in your face and dare you to complete a pass on their man coverage or their basically, you know, three-quarter, just basically matchup zone kind of defense. And when it's great, it looks like what we saw, interceptions and just aggression and sacks and things. And when it's bad, we see, hey, they're completing a lot of these comeback routes, a lot of these stop routes, or they're throwing it deep and one guy slips and so he's running to the house. You got to live with that if you accept the rest of the stuff. North Texas, intercepting passes, that was a thing. That was a hallmark of Reffitt's defense at ULM. And, you know, it's something they coach and they want. In this day and era, that's a sound strategy. If you can get in a track meet with them and you slow them down just a little bit by just tripping them up with one, two turnovers, that kind of thing, then you win the game. I think North Texas thinks their offense can score every time, and they feel like their defense can get a stop here and there. That'll be enough to win the game. Last night, we saw that was the case, right? They got a little lucky, right? Hey, that tight end should have caught that pass. Was it named David Lucero from UTEP? But them's the breaks, man. Like, North Texas could have caught a couple of fourth down passes, same kind of way. Those are the game. That's what happens. And I think we're done. I think we talked about everything in the game. I don't know. I'm not super excited about that game. It was just disappointing. I never really felt like it was in doubt, except I guess maybe. Maybe after UTEP scored, right? I was like, you know, if we don't get points here, I could totally see something stupid happening where, like, a handoff is kind of bobbled, UTEP picks it up, runs it back, and then North Texas absolutely needs to score to win the game. And then there's, like, a weird pressure on them, right? And that's one you can easily lose. As it was, North Texas had a punt, and then I was like, you know what? Just go for it, man. Just go for it. They didn't. They punted, and then they ended up stopping them. That's... It was fine. It was not the finest performance, but again, you played a game to win.
You played to win the game.
And, you know, you get a win, you got to feel happy about things. North Texas is 5-1, y'all. 5-1. And with lots of opportunity left. We got a lot of games left. Southern Miss, UAB. I forget what the order is. Finally, then it's like Rice and then Old Dominion. Then FAU, right? And then finally UTSA. Some big games, some good games, lots of football to be played, lots of opportunity to improve, lots of opportunity to get better at various aspects that we are concerned about right now. I mean, it was just a couple weeks ago that the offense was firing all cylinders. Happened last year, too, where like, you know, the offense was killing it, and then they kind of slowed down, and they started killing it again, and they kind of slowed down at the end of the season. That's the rhythm of the season, man. That's what happens. And you got to be good enough to execute at a level high enough where your lows are winnable. You know, you can win with your lows, and that's what we saw last night. So I'm fine. I'm fine. I think, again, if you want to ascribe that to a bad effort, and you know more than I do, then let me know. Because, I mean, I think it's easy to say they don't look like they're trying, right? But I think if you are a coach and you see them every day and you know what trying looks like, you've seen them try real hard in practice, and then you go out there, you can say with some certainty, this is not a good effort, you're not trying hard, then you know more, right? But if you're just like, well, I see them every week, you know, once for 3 hours and maybe on some Beyond the Green, and you want to make a proclamation like you can say that they all quit, I don't know. I mean, that's a little rougher. But maybe you know better, more than me, right? Let me know. Podcast@meandgreennation.com. If you have any questions, podcast@meandgreennation.com. If you have any comments, podcast@meandgreennation.com. You can find me on Twitter, Mean Green Nation. Next week we should have Aldo back. I know I got some good feedback. I know a few of you said, hey, like Billy Sierra was real good. He was real knowledgeable and you liked him on the show. We'll try to get him on here again. Definitely around recruiting time. And maybe as a fill-in for Aldo a couple of these times. He couldn't make it this week, Aldo or Billy. So, you know, I just figured I'd fill in and do it myself. I can do this, guys. Other than that, y'all let me know if you have any feedback on the show. I do appreciate it. I appreciate it a lot. Leave a review on iTunes, you know, leave some 5-star ratings so other people can find it when they search Mean Green Podcasts. Send it to your friends. That's a good way for people to find podcasts. Hey, look, listen to this guy talk about Mean Green football. It's very good. Coming up, basketball season started, basically, right? Practice and stuff. We're going to have some coverage there. I think, you know, there's some podcast talks. There's stuff happening. I'll let you know more once we kind of figure out what's going on. I know last year a lot of people appreciated Greg's writing on the subject, and you know, I think that's the aim, is to get him to kind of do that again. He had some life changes also, so you know, you never know what's gonna happen there. But like I said, if you become a member, consider, if you're not, right, consider becoming a member of meangreennation.com. You go to meangreennation.com membership, and there's a few links on the homepage if you want to figure that out. That kind of stuff helps me help other people, you know, write for the show or things like that. A lot of this stuff is a labor of love for a lot of people, and if you can make it a little bit easier to decide to write about Mean Green football or Mean Green basketball or Mean Green soccer, it, you know, by basically paying them a little cash here and there, then you know, your contribution helps one, keep the site up, keeps it going, and then also, you know, help me sprinkle around a little cash here and there, so that way people you know, can have it worth their while. And for the people that do subscribe, thanks. We appreciate it. And again, we'll try to come up with new and cool things that show our appreciation. The season preview book, that was like a free deal there. A normal value of $9.99. And yeah, some of the other things that we give away, like the shirt, get discounts when we sold some shirts. Stuff like that, right? Again, primary reason for the membership existing is to support the site, make sure it stays up. The more popular the thing gets, the more people, the more cost me, right? That means more bandwidth on the site, et cetera, that kind of thing. You guys know how the world works. Anyways, thanks for listening. Go Mean Green.